Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John, now on the other side of the glass. Welcome back, John. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 18th day of January 2022, now in our 12th year on the radio and 34th year on television and radio here in Tucson. The Buckmaster Show broadcasts from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, 1030 Tucson's Voice. For Trusted News Talk, KVOI. We have our worldwide live listening on my website. Easy to find. Just put in buckmastershow.com. Actually, you can just Google Bill Buckmaster, and it will take you there. The Buckmaster Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Without further ado, let's go on the live line to our friend Randy Rogers. Randy is the president, the head of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Good. How's the New Year going for you so far?
New Year is kicking off with a bang. We're continuing all the good things that happened in 2021.
I was wondering if you think 2022... whether we can sustain the same kind of energetic, robust growth we've been seeing in the Tucson real estate market. What's your take on that, Randy?
You are asking the million-dollar question, literally, in some cases. So the all indicators right now anticipate that 2022 is going to look as good, if not better, than 2021. But might slow the pace down a little bit. Doesn't mean the end result's not going to be there. It just means the pace is going to slow down some. So the fervent buyer stress that's been going on over the last couple of years hopefully will balance just a little bit as we go throughout the course of the year.
Our homes sitting, how long are homes generally sitting on the market right now?
We are up from where we were. We were down as low as 12 days on market. At one point in time, we're back up to a whopping 19 days on market right now. So still well under a month average days on market.
There were bidding wars going on 2021 on certain properties. Is that slowing a bit, Randy?
Just slightly. Slightly, and I think it's a couple of reasons why. I think we're seeing an uptick in rates. We're seeing the time of year. We're seeing buyers just exhausted. Many have tried, and they're just tired. So they're taking a little bit of a breather, but we'll still see some of that, but we don't anticipate seeing, again, quite the crazy that was in the last over the past year.
Give us an overview on what prices looked like in 2021, Randy.
We have seen an uptick in our median home price. And I'm going to go back to 2017. This is the Southern Arizona region. We were at $195,000 as a median home price or sales price. Now we're up to $305,000 in this last year. Average sales price up to $365,000. So really dramatic increase over the last 5 years in both median and average sales price.
That's one of the highest in the country. It's got to be.
What was the report I saw? We were about 30th out of the country, I think, somewhere in that range. We aren't up there with the big cities. The growth was astronomical in some of the larger metro areas, Phoenix in particular being one. But we're up there with most major metro cities and seeing that growth.
The home builder confidence has dropped for the first time in 4 months. I see this report from CNBC today. Inflation is hitting apparently the materials. National Association of Home Builders and the Wells Fargo Housing Market Index saying that builder confidence fell by 1 point to 83 in January. Are those possible storm clouds on the horizon, Randy Rogers?
I don't know that I would call them storm clouds. I would say there's some clouds that are going to shade our view a little bit. And I think inflation is one of those. supply chain issues, and that's both in materials for new home construction as well as labor for new home construction. We're challenged on both of those right now.
The price of softwood lumber alone has jumped about 85% in just the last 3 months, according to this report. So that is, the higher material costs and lack of availability are really playing into the equation of how long it's taking a typical single-family home to be built. So this supply chain issue is going to have an impact, and it's had it already, of course. But how do you see that?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's going to impact the building of single-family homes. You couple that. So that price needs to be passed along to somebody, and it'll be passed along to the consumer because the builder has to do that. You couple that with a rise in interest rates, even as little as 1% can have an impact on some households. Or some potential buyers. So you put those two together. And again, that's what leads to a little bit more of the balance of the year or the slowing of the pace for that we anticipate for 2022.
Randy, could you articulate for us what are the areas that remain very hot? I mean, the whole market seems to be certainly was hot. But are there some areas that are exceptional in the Tucson Valley that you could tell our listeners about?
No question that we're seeing tremendous growth in the northwest and the southeast sectors of town. That's obvious because there's growth in those areas and there's a potential growth in those areas, so builders are targeting those. But we see a rise across the board. There is the lowest. This is an interesting way to look at it. One of the lowest areas for within the community still has a 40% increase in median sales price. So it's hard to pick out a place that is not doing well. But certainly, as I said, northwest and southeast. Central is doing extremely well, and we're starting to see some growth in the southwest as well. That's a little slower uptake, but we're starting to see more being built out in that direction.
What is your advice, Randy Rogers, for someone that wants to get into a home, first-time home buyers? It would seem this would be a very difficult time, but they want to get in. They don't want to rent anymore. What's your advice for them?
Always my recommendation is to reach out to the professional realtor. They can help you in that process and make sure you're qualified for the right price of home and help you zero in on what's going to be best for your situation, be it a family, be it schools, be it commute, whatever you are looking for, a realtor can help there. But then I would say patience. The days of for a buyer that wants to see a house and wants to go home and say, hey, honey, let's go home and sleep on it tonight or talk to somebody about it. There's a good likelihood if the home is priced right, it'll be gone by the time you come back. So and a professional can help you with that. But patience is definitely a virtue in this current market.
People buying homes without ever stepping foot in the home. Is that still that trend going on that we saw in 2021?
We're seeing still that trend continue. Obviously, it's early in the year, but we anticipate that will be a subject in 2022, and especially in a market like Tucson. We're about 10 years underbuilt in supply, as is much of the country, so that's not unique to us. But what is unique to us is that Tucson is one of the hottest markets in the country. In any way, shape, and form you slice it. And if you look to our neighbors to the north, they're growing just as fast, if not faster. So people are looking at the central and southern Arizona region, determining that this is a location they'd like to be migrating from somewhere in the country.
All right, Randy Rogers, the Tucson Association of Realtors head. Thank you, Randy. Good catching up with you. I hope the rest of the month goes very well for you, and you have a great year.
Thanks for your time, Bill. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you very much. Thanks. Randy Rogers from the Tucson Association of Realtors. Time to talk about my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery. They are open right now for lunch. Yes, they are taking now Mondays off. It is official. Steve and the team, they need to take a day off. I don't blame them. So they're not open on Monday, but today is Tuesday. So they are open 6:30 in the morning for breakfast. So it's Tuesday through Sunday. Steve was saying to me when we were up there for breakfast on Sunday that people, sometimes they're there at 6:30 in the morning on Monday and they want their pastries. Well, there's nobody there. They're taking a break. So mark it on your calendar Tuesday through Sunday for Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. They've got some beautiful pictures, and describing all of the menu items makes it very easy for you. Shelley Fishman is with me in the studio, and if he had three thumbs, if he had three, they'd all be down right now. It's not a great day on the markets. But after all, hey, it's Tuesday. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Tom Sullivan here, inviting you to join the rest of us who spend every weeknight from 7 to 10 with the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelly Fishman. Shelly, how is your week going so far?
It's about as hideous as it gets.
I guess. The market looks awful. It is just so ugly.
Not
on the
having
market.
A good day.
And yes, I get it. Goldman and some of the other big banks, yes, they didn't reach their earnings projection, but some of them actually did okay. But is this enough to really send the market into a downward spiral?
So let's put it into perspective.
Please, please.
The market's down about 1,000 points from its all-time high.
Okay.
It's up about 3,500 from a year ago.
You're right.
So where we are right now is in volatility. We've got a lot of uncertainty in just in general in the economy and in the society right now. And the markets are reacting to that uncertainty. What's going on today, and I really won't be able to analyze it until later on today when the numbers come in, to see if this volatility today is being caused by the big investors, you know, the big investment funds,
mm-hmm.
or it's being caused by individual investors, and it's just a lot of volume.
Mm-hmm.
That'll give you some indication of whether this is a whole bunch of economic modeling that's going into the downswing, or it's just people scared, people chasing the curve. And, you know, I got to tell you, Bill, there are worse things you can do in life than chasing the curve in your investments, but it's tough to think of any.
Boy, oh boy, when you start selling, like on a day like this.
Right. So, you know, first of all, you assume that the money that you have invested is invested and allocated properly
right.
for your age and for what you need to do with the money when you need to do it, and that you're taking good advice from your financial advisor. That said, if you're retired and you're using your invested money
mm-hmm.
on a weekly, monthly basis,
mm-hmm.
and when the market goes down, you're withdrawing from your savings because you need that to live on, then, you know, one of the things I would ask right away is, why are you invested in stocks? Stocks are going to be long-term just fine, but in the short term, they can be very, very volatile. So if you're using your invested monies, your funds that are invested in stocks,
mm-hmm.
if you're using that to live, then you're not getting good advice from your financial advisor. That said, if you're not needing that money right away, then the best thing to do when markets turn around like they have been or been volatile the way they have been is to ignore it.
Right.
You know, you have to just ride it through. And, you know, that might be a couple of months. It might be a year or more. But if you don't need that money, the worst thing you can do is chase the curve, is sell on the way down and buy on the way up. That's, you know, selling low and buying high. That's the opposite of the way it's supposed to work.
Yes,
and yet, Bill, the average American investor does that time and time again. And I've told this story a million times. I'm going to tell it one more time. The stock market, on average, since the end of World War II, has gained about 12% a year. Now, there are some average years, there are some down years, there are some up years, but on average, it's gained about 12% per year. The average portfolio from American investors has gained 3% a year. Why is that?
Hmm.
And it's because people are scared. They've invested more money than they can afford to invest, or they are just panicking when things go wrong for a couple of days, or even a couple of weeks, or maybe even a couple of months. Now, I get it. If you need the money, you know, you do what you can to preserve your assets. On the other hand, the question that I always ask is, why in the world are you invested in risky, volatile assets if you're using that money all along?
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you know, some well-worn guidelines in terms of what your age and risk tolerance are.
And they're worth repeating right now, I think. Go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah.
So as you get older,
mm-hmm.
and as you are going to be forecasting using your invested assets,
yep.
those assets need to be allocated more and more conservatively. Now, you know, you will get people from my profession arguing whether that ought to be 30% stock and 70% bonds or 50%, 50%. But the general principle is, as you get older, you ought to be more conservative if you need the money. If you don't need that money because you have income from, say, annuities and Social Security and your living costs are well under control, then you can be a little more, maybe even a lot more aggressive into your retirement because you can stop using that money or delay using that money when the market, you know, takes a header like it has today or becomes very, very volatile. But for the average, you know, the average guy on the street who's got some amount of money invested in a 401k or an IRA or whatever, and is intending to use that money as they go into retirement, the best thing you can do is listen to the well-worn advice, which is as you get closer and closer to retirement, you need to make your investment allocation more and more conservative. And by the way, there's a very easy way to do that, is you can buy dated funds, in other words, funds that are dated to the year that you're going to retire.
Right.
And what happens is the fund managers of those funds reallocate as they approach that target year and make the funds more and more conservative. Now, some of them do it better than others. So it's not just you could, you know, throw darts at the wall at these funds and you know, pick any of them. You still need to do a little bit of research. But that advice for most of us investors is sound advice. As you get older, get more conservative. Don't look at it every day. Don't look at it every month. Look at it every quarter if you dare.
All right. Shell, we've got one question on the live line, and I've got one that came in by email just a moment ago. Let's take the email one quickly, then we'll go to the caller.
Okay.
The question that came in on email, Shelley, how dependent is the market on Build Back Better dollars to stimulate the market?
That's a great question. The market is not dependent, but it's looking forward to some additional progress in the Biden administration towards some of the things in Build Back Better. I mean, remember, we've had a stimulus, COVID stimulus. We also have an infrastructure plan that is in effect now. But there are some things in Build Back Better that the market is looking forward to. If, and that's why I say it's important to know whether this was small investors or large investors today, if the market begins to lose faith that the economy will continue to grow at this really phenomenal pace that it's growing, then you'll see a pullback in equities. And also the thing that is troubling the market is not knowing what the Fed is going to do and how strongly the Fed will put the brakes on.
Okay. The caller has gone away,
oh.
So I don't know what the question was. Well, so is the caller back? Caller is back. Rick is there. Rick Grinnell.
Hey,
Rick. How are you?
Gentlemen, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Rick.
My biggest concern, I'm a senior, I'm semi-retired, but my biggest concern for my generation and even the generation right behind me is the cost of health insurance, and the inflation is outpacing our abilities depending on what our investment portfolio may look like. How is the insurance industry going to address, and are we going to see another rise in costs with prescription medications, insurance, Part B, and down the line?
Rick, thanks for that question. The cost of medical care is one of the fundamental problems in the economy. And if we have no propensity to fix those costs, then it is going to continue to threaten the retirements of people. And I assume that, you know, you're at or close to the age of retirement. The cost, and these numbers are not up to date, but the cost of medical care as a percentage of GDP in this country was close to 20%. It has, in all other industrialized nations around the world, that cost is close to 11 or 12%. That 8% difference not only makes us less competitive, but makes it more and more difficult for us to invest the money we need to invest in growth and in the infrastructure and those things. So it is not by accident that we have been so reluctant and have delayed so long in doing the kind of investment in the economy that we needed to do. Healthcare costs are a part of that. There are ways of mitigating those costs, and that's maybe a subject for a future segment that we'll do. But you're right to be concerned about it, and thank you for that question.
All right, both good questions. The one that came in by email, and then Rick Grinnell's question. All right, Shelley, that's going to wrap it up. A very volatile day, but volatility has really been kind of the watchword since the pandemic began.
Absolutely.
Almost two full years ago. Shelley, I hope you have a great week. Thank
you too,
very
Bill.
Much.
See you next week.
All right, we're going to break right here. It's Buckmaster on a Tuesday.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zilkalo Village studio. We love Green Things, our go-to nursery for everything beautiful and green for our gardens. And they also have, on the 13-acre site, Zilkalo Village, beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Here are a couple of websites for you. GreenThingsAZ.com. Green Things is open daily. ZilkaloVillage.com is the other website you can check out at Zilkalo Village for sure. Some of those beautiful dining room sets and, oh my goodness, hand-carved out of mesquite and other beautiful wood. So check out Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go to the state capitol, State Representative Andres Cano, Democrat District 5, with us on the live line. Andres, how are you, sir?
Well, thank you, Bill. Happy New Year. It's an honor to be here with you and doing just fine. Thinking it's Monday, but it's not. It's Tuesday.
I know. I've been thinking the same thing. Representative, what are going to be the headlines coming out of this session? What are the marquee issues that you as Democrats and your fellow Democrats are very concerned with?
Well, look, Bill, I think ultimately we've got a couple of crises in front of us. We've got a situation that needs our absolute attention, and that is our public schools that are literally this morning, many school district leaders throughout the state, including the Tucson Unified School District, they're up here at the Capitol today pleading with the current GOP legislative majorities to get what's called an aggregate limit expenditure cap authorized so that our schools can keep doing the good work that they're doing of taking care of our kids, training our workforce, and preparing the next generation of leaders. Bill, if the legislature doesn't do something in the next, I'd say, 6 to 8 weeks, Pima County alone, our schools that are in the area stand to lose almost $100 million in funding. That, of course, means a tremendous potential cutback in positions and layoffs and the kind of classroom experience that we've grown to love in our public schools to be able to provide for our kids. And all of that's at risk if we don't roll up our sleeves and get this expenditure limit authorized. In years past, has not been a controversial bill. It's ultimately the will, political will of the majority to move this forward. And I think right now we're doing a disservice by holding them hostage.
Well, why is this being held up, this expenditure? You would think this, we are in a crisis. Take a look at the number of cases in Pima County alone of COVID. They're like 25, 2600 just today. We're in a crisis here. Why is this being held up?
I think ultimately the governor's moved on from the COVID-19 pandemic. He is looking for the next opportunities for him to entertain his next political steps on Fox News. That's what we saw in his State of the State address last week. And I think for the rest of us here who will be here beyond 2022, we're looking for solutions. And I think investment in our public schools, being able to support higher education, the governor's budget that he released on Friday, Bill, doesn't do anything to reduce financial aid for students here in Arizona, both in the university system and the community college system that you and I have talked about over the years, because I think we've got to be investing in our 21st century economy. We've got to be looking at every different license that's out there, from aviation to commercial drivers to help us through this supply shortage that we've got, nurses that need to be trained, teachers that need to be paid well. Those are all the kind of things we're focused on in my caucus among the minority party. But, we're being sold this rose-colored picture of what Arizona's economy is and is not. And so we say to the governor, we're here to be able to stand on the issues that need our attention, not on the next soundbite for the right wing media.
And we keep hearing about the governor now, he's considering running for the U.S. Senate. So you got to wonder what that's all about.
Well, we've got 25,000 deaths in Arizona from COVID-19 and more ultimately of the same. If we continue to see contingency of Arizona continue to move from one extreme to the other. I mean, look, Bill, I'm not just speaking from a partisan perspective. I think Arizonans truly are looking for us to be able to invest in our economy, to be able to take care of our precious natural resources, water in particular. And that's an issue that I'm very passionate about and look forward to seeing some solutions. But the more we keep kicking the can down the road on solutions that ultimately we know could be in front of us, I think the more it's just going to be Groundhog Day. And that's not fair to Arizonans who elected a near evenly split among party lines legislature. And, you know, I think ultimately it's on us to show that we can work together, and we've got to.
The whole thing about so-called election reform, there were so many pieces of legislation during the 2021 session about this as a reaction with many lawmakers up in Phoenix who insist that that President Biden did not win the election, that Donald Trump won Arizona. Are we going to have more of this nonsense?
I think we are going to see a lot more of the same old conversation. And the reality is even Governor Ducey certified the election in 2020 because there was no election voter fraud. I'm glad that our own Pima County attorney also looked into some of the allegations and ultimately found that there were far and few cases, literally less than a 0.01% of cases that had any instance. And for me, Bill, you know, I want folks to have access to same-day voter registration. I want our freedom to vote to be protected. These are things that have never been controversial until the Republicans started losing elections. And in particular here in Arizona, you know, it's absolutely disgusting that we can't stand on the side of our county recorders who are doing incredible work. And if you doubt that, just look at the Maricopa County Elections Department and the Board of Supervisors, who have been labeled as the most extremist of county elected official bureaucrats who are trying to tamper with our elections. Nothing can be farther from the truth. And we have to come together. We need reform at the national level. And I'm saddened that Senator Sinema, a member of my party, has given this kind of approach to the majority to not allow us to be at the table for reforms the day after Martin Luther King Day, but encouraged by ultimately the ability for us to change folks' engagement politically in 2022. It's going to be a very busy year, and we're not going to defeat any kind of chance of us being able to compare and contrast what our platform is.
The state rainy day fund, Andres Cano, is over $2 billion and growing by the day. Is that money going to be put back? Is the governor wants to go with another tax cut? Is that where that money's going?
I believe that that's consistent with what the governor plans on doing. Last year, the Republican majority put in a near $2 billion tax cut for Arizona's wealthiest. Most Arizonans stand to gain about $40 and some change from that particular piece of legislation. So when we get caught in this notion or idea that we're about economic freedom and about giving money back to the taxpayers, you know, when you're getting $40 back, do you want that $40 to invest in our public schools? Do you want it to invest in clean air, clean water, clean energy, supporting our economy? Those are all things that I think Arizonans, once you get past the partisan gridlock, folks will be able to nod and say, yeah, I do want to make investment in my kids and in our future. And the governor, while he likes to point fingers and talk about how awful of a job Washington has been doing, our state budget is having a really good optimistic outlook right now because the American Rescue Plan brought in more than $2 billion to be able to support our system. And now our state, you know, the governor is using this to pad the coffers of his agencies so that he can get closer and closer to that tax cut that ultimately is very, very, very disastrous. And we have to remember the rainy day fund could be used to, you know, put people in their in homes instead of being on the streets. It can be used to reduce financial aid. I don't get why the governor would not be interested in doing those kind of things.
Speaking of not getting, I don't get this this Wendy Rogers her proposal to do away with mail-in voting in Arizona. I hope that doesn't go anywhere.
You know, Senator Rogers continues to be, I think, everything that we've been working against for the last several years, where we want Arizonans to come together, to come to this legislature and put good ideas onto the table. I mean, this is somebody who's replaced the image of Jesus Christ with the face of Donald Trump on her wall. And, you know, whether that's all just social media chatter or whether, you know, these are all just sensational proposals, we have an obligation to show the people of Arizona that we support early voting, that we want folks to have the freedom to vote. And I think right now, you know, I'm encouraged at the very least. Here's a bipartisan agreement. I'm encouraged that Speaker Bowers does not want to change the current system, because that would just be silly and flies in the face of all the work that we've been doing. And if taxpayers, you know, are on board with Senator Rogers' proposal, I think they think again when they see what it costs with the proposal she has in mind.
We spoke with Morgan Abraham, who is the freshman lawmaker. He was appointed by the Board of Supervisors, Democrat from here in Southern Arizona. We had him on the show last week, and he says that he's really excited. He's hitting the ground running. How is your delegation holding together, Andres?
Well, you know, we were the only state in the nation in 2020 to preserve our numbers in the House and gain one seat in the state Senate. And so I think as we move forward to talk about our plan to create jobs, to provide health care for Arizonans and to protect our public schools, we want to revitalize the economy. And that's the message that we have in 2022. I'm very, very excited about Representative Abraham and Representative Mathis, our new Southern Arizona delegation members. They will do us well to keep putting our issues at the forefront. And I think ultimately, once we get past the noise, Arizonans will see that we've got good solutions. And one-party rule at the state legislature has not served us well. And it's been that way since the 1960s, and we're that close to writing a new chapter where we'll all win.
All right, Andres Cano, State Representative, District 3. Thank you, Representative. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show continues. Mitch Tobin, our environmental reporter, have the latest. Are they getting any snow? I hope so. Up in the Colorado River watershed, Mitch will have an update from Colorado right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Start your planning for a great getaway to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson. Go to southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of information about things to do, and there's lots to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and some great places to stay. southwestnewmexico.org. The Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment is Mitch Tobin, director of the Water Desk. That is a journalism initiative at the University of Colorado Boulder, focusing on Western water issues and the Colorado River Basin. The award-winning journalist Mitch Tobin, former environmental reporter for the Napa Valley Register, Tucson Citizen, and Arizona Daily Star. He's the author of Endangered, which shows why so many species are at risk of extinction. Mitch joins us on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management from his home base in Southern California. Mitch, Southern Colorado. Hey, Mitch, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thanks for having me on the show.
I was thinking about California because the atmospheric rivers have been bringing so much needed snow to the Sierra, lots of precipitation in the Northwest. But then we've all heard about what happened in the Denver area before Christmas, unheard of to have kind of a wildfire situation this time of year. Give us some good news. I hope there is some. Are you getting some snow up there in the Colorado River Basin?
Well, it's been an interesting winter so far. It definitely started out very, very dry. You mentioned the fire between Denver and Boulder. It was one of the latest recorded first snows in Denver. So it was super dry there, and that helped feed that fire. But we did, over the holidays, get a pretty big series of storms, and that definitely helped the snowpack here in Colorado and other parts of the Colorado River Basin. So it was starting out very dry and very warm. A lot of ski resorts were opening late, but thankfully we got some of those atmospheric rivers that were also affecting California and the Sierra Nevada were able to hit places like Colorado. So many of the basins in Colorado and in the Colorado River Basin writ large are now somewhat above average. However, it has been very dry the last couple of weeks. We haven't really received hardly any snow, certainly here in southwest Colorado. So there was some good news with those storms around the new year, but we're now back in a little bit of a dry pattern, and it sounds like maybe in a week or two we'll shift back to getting some more moisture, hopefully.
So the atmospheric rivers just don't make it all the way to the Rockies. Is that one of the issues, Mitch?
You know, it depends. They come in sort of different angles and different places along the West Coast, but sometimes they are able to make it all the way through here. And that happened, you know, before the new year, and especially here in southwest Colorado in the San Juans. And so we got a huge amount of snow. Purgatory, which is very near Durango, where I live, got about 5 feet of snow in 9 days. Wolf Creek got more than 100 inches. But some of those atmospheric rivers we'll be going in the Pacific Northwest, and so there'll be too far north. Some of them, you know, don't quite make it here, but a few of them have been quite powerful, and so they have been able to make it through all the way here to the Rockies.
I want to switch over to back to your book, Endangered, which came out quite a few years ago, but there's been news just in the last day or two, I'm sure you've seen it, that a new study recently revealed that the sixth, that's with a six, mass extinction of the biodiversity of our planet Earth is presently underway. You were warning about this, Mitch Tobin, with your award-winning book, Endangered, and that book came out, I think, about 8 or 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while, and to be honest, there were people warning about this extinction crisis long before I wrote that book, and so as time has gone on and as the evidence has accumulated, it's become clearer and clearer that this is one of the great extinction episodes on our planet. And, you know, you can look back to the prior extinction events. Those were caused by things like an asteroid hitting the Earth and completely messing up the climate. There were, in some cases, volcanic activity. But, you know, those previous extinction events didn't really have anything to do with us. But this one is caused by humans, clearly, not only because of climate change, but because of things like habitat destruction, moving invasive species all around the globe. And so it's clear that we're losing species at a tremendous rate and far greater than what you would expect naturally to occur.
Yeah, 13% of the 2 million identified species gone. This is I wasn't aware that this was number six, but apparently there had been five major species die-offs, extinction occurrences that have been marked by mass biodiversity loss because of extreme natural phenomena. And this acceleration continues, and by the day we're losing species. It's very sad.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, we're still in the process of discovering species. We don't really even know how many species are out there, and a lot of them remain unknown to science. And in some ways, we're losing them faster than we can actually record them and understand them. And so it's also important to remember that it's quite difficult in some cases to drive a species entirely extinct, but a species can be just a shadow of its former self, but still not extinct. And so I think that's happening in a lot of cases as well, where maybe the species isn't extinct, but it's 99% fewer individuals than there were, 100 or several hundred years ago. And so we're seeing this really around the globe, all sorts of different ecosystems, all sorts of species. And, you know, it's clear that unless things change, we're going to be continuing to drive some of these species into oblivion.
Okay, I've only got 40 seconds left. So the jury's certainly out, I guess, on the snowpack in the Rockies.
Well, yeah, it's unclear about how the next few months are going to be playing out, but that's definitely the key time coming up. Here in Colorado, the snowpack tends to peak the beginning of April. So the next few months will be critical here in Colorado, other parts of the West. I definitely have my fingers crossed as a skier and somebody who likes to see snow out there. But at this point, it's really hard to predict what's going to happen.
Mitch Tobin, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Mitch, where can people find out about this University of Colorado Boulder initiative that's underway focusing on water issues?
Sure. We're at waterdesk.org. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. So please check out the website and would love to hear from folks.
Mitch, thanks a lot. Hope the new year is off to a good start. And if it is, it continues that way. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Thanks a lot. Mitch Tobin up in southern Colorado, where there was some snow. Now it's back down to a kind of a dry period. So hopefully it'll be a good snow year. On behalf of John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey is next. Have a great day.